the psalm for this morning, Psalm 61, a great psalm, and I got it. It's mine now. It wasn't mine when I read it through the first time. It wasn't mine. But then I studied it, because I knew I had to say something about it this morning. So I studied it, and I got it. Amen. I encourage you all, don't just read it through once, but study it out, and you'll get it too. Psalm 61. Let's stand and let's say this whole psalm together. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You may be seated again. I'm going to share what Matthew Henry says about this psalm. I love what he says about this psalm. And in sharing his thoughts, maybe you'll get some of your own too about the psalm. David begins with prayers and tears. And he did, didn't he? He started with tears and prayers, but he ends with praise. Whenever we have liberty to draw near to God and may find a way open to the throne of grace, we always can. We always have the liberty to go to him, and we can find grace at his throne. And that which separates us from other comforts should drive us near to God. How many of you, when you get in trouble, it drives you right to God? Yes. We hate those things that lead us into despair, etc. But when we embrace them, the denial of reality is the womb of tragedy. What a statement. Let's not deny reality. Let's look at our realities and face them, and let's run to God.
Amen.
With that reality. Yes. That he might breathe the power of his Holy Spirit on the issue. Amen. So that which separates us from other comforts should draw us nearer to God, the fountain of all comfort. Though the heart is overwhelmed, yet it may be lifted up to God in prayer. Nay, I will cry unto thee, for by that it means it will be supported and relieved. Weeping must quicken praying and not deaden it. God's power and promise are a rock that is higher than we are. Is he higher than us? Amen. The rock is Christ. On the divine mercy, as on a rock, David desired to rest his soul. And that's what we need to do. When these things come and hit us in the face, circumstances, etc., we need to run to the rock and rest our souls on him, on the rock. David desired to rest his soul, but he was like a shipwrecked sailor, exposed to the billows at the bottom of the rock, too high for him to climb without help. David found that he could not be fixed on the rock of salvation unless the Lord placed him on it. And there is safety in him and none in ourselves. Let us pray to be led to and fixed upon Christ our rock. The service of God shall be his constant work and business. All must make it so who expect to find God their shelter and strong tower. The grace of God shall be his constant comfort. Amen. That's good. Yes. Now he vows to serve God in verses 5 through 8. There is a people in the world that fear God's name. There is a heritage peculiar to that people. Present comforts in the soul, earnestness of future bliss. Those that fear God have enough in him and must not complain. We need desire no better heritage than those who fear God. Those who abide to good purpose in this world, who abide before God, serve him and walk in his fear. Those who do so shall abide before him forever. Amen. Let us be one of those. And these words are to be applied to him of whom the angel said, "The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." We need not desire to be better secured than under the protection of God's mercy and truth. How many of you love his mercy? And the truth. Amen. And if we partake of that grace and truth which came by Jesus Christ, we may praise him whatever our outward circumstances. But renewed experience of God's mercy and truth towards his people in Christ is the main matter of our joy in him and our praise to him. Wow, I like Matthew Henry. I think I'd like to sit by him for a while in heaven. Not the whole time, because there's others too, okay? And the other one that I'd like to sit by today is J. Vernon McGee. I looked up what he said about this psalm, too. It's kind of neat. I had a little tea party. Me and Vernon and Henry, we just sat together and we just chatted about this psalm. And all three of us really liked it. J. Vernon McGee says, about the last verse, Pat, will you put up that very last part? So will I sing unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. We make vows to God. How are we going to perform it? What's going to help us in the performance of those vows? Well, J. Vernon says, make your vows and then get close to God. See why I like this guy? This guy, really, 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 get close to God, get close to God. That's where it all is for me. Sing his praises, and he will help you fulfill your vows. So as we sing this morning, we're not just singing to praise him, but actually in doing so, there's a transformation taking place in us where our faith is built. As we sing to him, then we are more able to perform those vows which we promised him. Amen. So is it good to sing?
Yes.
Let's stand and let's say this very last verse of this psalm together one more time. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.